Blog Talk Radio.
Look, guys, I'm not in the mood to be messing around. However, you know, it would be nice if we could just play the entrance. I mean, did I ask you to play? I mean, come on. I'm under a lot of fucking pressure right now. And you're not really...
Look in my eyes, what do you see? The cost of something I would be.
Alright, I get the point. Alright, ladies and gents, or as I like to call you, giblets. Tonight, on Off the Rails Uncensored, the first edition of 2018, I believe there is some business that needs to be taken care of, you see. Good old B-Train gets wind of certain things from certain sources called WrestlingNews.co, Bleacher Report, and so many other sources are reporting the return of several WWE superstars for the Royal Rumble. Now, do I want to reveal all those names? I'm not Renee Young. And by that, I mean, that's a good thing. I'm not a reporter. I am a broadcast journalist, considering that we are on a podcast. But here's the thing. If I have to, you know, report just a few names, Beth Phoenix, EC3, Bobby Lashley. Yeah, there's a lot of names backstage last night on SmackDown Live as well that we're seeing behind the scenes. Shayna Baszler, Bret the Hitman Hart, Tyson Kidd. There's a picture of Natty with Shayna Baszler, so it's all gravy. There is a return of Becky Lynch last night. Naomi was not a return, but she was in Orlando. And then you had Charlotte Flair and then Attack. Oh, yeah. Let me cue that music. I completely forgot because I'm going to start a new tradition in 2018. And that is not going to change how I do things. So, to format this awesomeness that is uncensored, off the rails uncensored, I got a white piece of paper and you don't know where it is. Just kidding. Play the fucking music, monkeys. Come on. Come on. I know you can do it. You know what my favorite part about SmackDown Live was? It wasn't so much that the tag team titles didn't have a dusty finish, although that's kind of the terminology you use when you see that, when the titles change hand. But, oh, wait, there's something missing. The fucking dusty finish made its first appearance in 2018 when Chad Gable and Shelton Benjamin, who are a formidable tag team, faced off against the Usos. And it looked like the Usos were beaten. Not quite. Also, during that night, you saw Kevin Owens, Sami Zayn, AJ Styles, Shane McMahon, and Daniel Bryan. So the saga continues. I know I went backwards, but just got to say, what a hell of a match between the Usos, Chad Gable, and Shelton Benjamin. I'm sorry, I kind of stumble over the names, if you would. But here it is. At the beginning of the night, there's a little bit laying down of the law.
Daniel Bryan said, well, if you're going to be out there while Kevin Owens is out there, then I might as well be out there too, play Peacekeeper. So as the night goes on, there's the United States title match, United States tournament match. And the reason why I'm stammering over words is because how the hell did Xavier Woods beat Aiden English? I mean, let's think about this logic, shall we? Wrestling doesn't have logic, according to some. But when you look at it, the booking style of how WWE works is Aiden English versus Xavier Woods. Okay, and I'm pretty sure these guys have a mutual respect for one another, blah, blah, blah. Let's get past the semantics and just call it how I see it. So Xavier Woods and Aiden English went back and forth. Before that, they had a promo in the backstage area with pancakes for Xavier Woods' birthday, or cut out in 2018. He did have cataract surgery, so I guess Xavier Woods and I have something in common. We'll had eye surgery. But he is a video game. I'm getting off the point. So it was a very back-and-forth match. Didn't necessarily agree with the outcome because, to be quite honest with you, Xavier Woods, the only reason why, maybe because he's a draw, maybe because New Day's merchandise sells hot off the rack all the time. So maybe that's why. I was kind of disappointed because now Rusev Day, the chant for that is catching on. Some people are sick of New Day and some people are not. Obviously, majority of them love New Day. They love their merchandise, I'm not going to lie. It's pretty catchy, even though I would have preferred, you know, for Xavier Woods not to win that match. Not up to me. That was not how I envisioned things to happen. Although people go, if Aiden English would have won, it would have been boring. You're telling me Aiden English versus Jinder Mahal would have been boring. Okay. That's just one person's opinion. Moving forward, so now in the tournament, Jinder Mahal, imagine this, guys. It's really clear cut, right? Nobody knows what's going to happen on SmackDown Live. So Breezango faced off once again with the Bludgeon Brothers, Luke Harper, Eric Rowan. These two, their entrance, I got to say, is fairly effective because look at Bray Wyatt with the lantern and the dry ice and all the fireflies, you know, cell phones. It looks much different when you're actually live. So I got to say this from a fan's perspective. You keep feeding them guys that aren't really bad. They're not good. They're just in between. So for now, I guess you're trying to build them up to make them look strong. My whole assessment is you're going to eventually have to place them in a real match, which they are. They're getting to it, right? You don't want to rush poor creative for WWE to find and fix ways that we really can't fix. But here's the thing. Watching SmackDown Live was more entertaining from a fan's perspective because it's 2 hours. And I've said this multiple times before. Watching the show SmackDown Live, I know I'm going off tangent. I know that's what I normally do. But watching the entirety of the show from start to finish, I didn't almost fall asleep, which Lord only knows, okay, it's hard to stay awake for 3 hours watching Monday Night Raw. So you flip channels back and forth when Monday Night Football is on or when baseball is on, or, you know, whatever else is on, because sometimes there's a match, that one match that just really just stands out from the others. Okay, I'm getting off track here. Women's division match, you had the welcoming committee, Natalia, Tamina, and Carmella versus the Riot Squad. Riot Squad went over because I like to call her the boil and the butt of humanity, Liv Morgan. Girl, cannot, she's just a bootleg of Carmella. And I'm going to say this nicely. She created a distraction. I know that Ruby Riott won because Tamina would have basically ended the match with the Superfly splash. the way I believe that they're booking Riot Squad is paralleling exactly what Absolution is doing. So what's the point of having two strong female groups? Maybe they face off with each other at the Royal Rumble. Fucking pointless, dude. I honestly, questioning my ability to just review SmackDown Live, here's what I'm going to tell you. I watched the entire show. Nothing stood out to me except for, well, three quarters of it. So here's what I'm going to say. The main event, very interesting because AJ Styles is able to make people happy. He's able to put people over, and he's able to put the crowd into a frenzy like he normally does. So the main event was Sami Zayn versus AJ Styles in 2 weeks in a row. AJ Styles gets defeated by Sami Zayn. Is this a precursor in who they're wanting to push? I don't know. I'm not in the WWE boardroom deciding this shit. I mean, obviously, I would love to get into the head of a WWE official who writes this stuff and says, okay, so your question is, what is the point of discussing SmackDown Live when WK12 is coming up? I'm getting to that. I just got to review SmackDown Live first. It kind of takes a moment, if you will. So Daniel Bryan tries to keep the peace between Kevin Owens and Shane McMahon. Shane McMahon decides to throw Kevin Owens out. So to make it fair, Daniel Bryan decides to throw Shane out of the arena as well. And while he's doing that, Shane doesn't want to go. Well, that causes a distraction for the second week in a row. And to be honest with you, just seems like the way they're building this is kind of hilarious. Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn versus AJ Styles for the SmackDown World Heavyweight Championship. I don't see the title changing hands. I could be wrong. Like I said, anything can happen in WWE. I and others don't see it changing hands. Of course, we could be proven wrong, just like we thought that WWE wasn't going to capitalize on the Bullet Club and WWE. And it kind of created somewhat of a wrestling backlash, not similar to the NWO and DX, but I think it's hilarious that you tell one group of people cease and desist, and yet here you bring Finn Balor and the Bullet Club, the originators of said trademark, or actually Scott Hall, Kevin Nash, Shawn Michaels, X-Pac. They were the originators of the Click. So, I mean, how can you say cease and desist when your company did kind of semi-create it but didn't make it famous until the NWO, WCW saga? I mean, come on. Anyways, back to reality. So now AJ Styles is in a handicap match in Philadelphia at the Wells Fargo Center for the Royal Rumble, which, by the way, this is a perfect segue into the advertisements. If you would like to sign up for WWE Network, all you have to do is have a valid email address and password. Please have those two things in order, because if you don't, you won't be able to sign up for a month free. For those of you wanting to get the preloaded card, it is $27.94. You can order it on the WWE shop and have it sent to you, or you can provide someone the greatest gift they could ever get by purchasing a WWE preloaded card, which gets you 3 months of WWE Network, and not just WWE, you get ECW, WCW, USWA, TVWA, Smoky Mountain Wrestling. If those of you who don't know who Jim Cornette is, he's the dude who carries around a tennis racket and is badass. Someone. Actually, not someone. He is badass. He's kind of... Point is, you get a lot from WWE Network. You can type in a wrestler's name, learn more about them, learn where they were. Learn their stuff, okay? So it'll give you a biopic of certain wrestlers. That's on WWE.com. It is worldwide. It is also in a market in India. So WWE Network is not exclusive to the United States anymore. You can capture it on the website from your local vendor. Make sure that if you have a valid credit or debit card, it only charges you $9.99 per month. Speaking of networks, Monster Factory Networks, only $7.99 to sign up. For more information, go to monsterfactory.org. Speaking of Monster Factory, Danny Cage is the head trainer, owner, and coach of Monster Factory. And it was about almost 2 years ago where he was a guest on Stone Cold's podcast. This man is responsible for giving the Monster Factory extreme notice in a good way, in a positive light. So if you want to sign up, go to monsterfactory.org. If you have any questions about tuition, Danny will be sure to talk to you, but please get to the point. He is a very, very busy man. He's awesome. He's the man that's all you need to know. He has a seminar coming up featuring Bill DeMott and more in April. It is 2 days. Find a way to get there. You can pay the website. Please follow instructions. They will pick you. They will send somebody to pick you up from the airport. You can eat, sleep, and stay there at the camp. You don't have to get a hotel. It is in Paulsboro, New Jersey, the world-famous Monster Factory. For those of you wanting to fight the good fight against cancer, go to SusanGComan.org. Be sure to check out any of the auction items that they offer on that website. Be sure to kick cancer square in the ass and kick it out the door. Go to SusanGComan.org for more information on all the walks, jogs, marathons, and anything more. Go to SusanGComan.org and fight the good fight against cancer today. For those of you wanting to make a wish, go to MakeAWish.org or .com. Type in the name of your child and the requested superstar, celebrity, NFL or NBA or NHL or MLB or WNBA or anybody's name to have them come visit the hospital where your child is staying. Make sure you make your request valid before. That way your child isn't crying a river, and that way their wishes may come true. Make sure you also, speaking of being fight good fight and doing all this good jazz, Connor's Cure. There's always a big deal in WWE. Make sure you donate as much as you can. Make sure you're proactive about fighting the good fight against pediatric cancer. If you like to watch more of Connor's story, you can catch it on YouTube, or you can watch it through WrestleMania 30, or go to YouTube and type in Connor's Cure. All right, folks. 10 minutes to count down to tee off on a lot of things and a lot of people. Because here it is, 2018, and we are getting geared up for the builds for WrestleMania 34. What will happen since Dean Ambrose is no longer a part of the Royal Rumble? What will happen with Chris Jericho and Kenny Omega? We've all been discussing the same shit for the last, 2 days, right? Considering that SmackDown Live was kind of more entertaining than Monday Night Raw, I guess Raw's trying to save all the goodies for the 25th year anniversary of the inception of Monday Night Raw. So imagine that. This show has lasted 25 years on air. That is a long time, ladies and gentlemen. The only other show that's the longest weekly episodic running TV show, it could be The Simpsons. I mean, come on. There's new episodes of them. They've lasted a long time, since 1988. So think about, people are turning 30 this year. You are as old as when The Simpsons were conceived. I'm just telling you. So anyways, 25 years of Monday Night Raw. Jeez. Oh, and here's another thought for you. What if Keith Lee goes to NXT? What if Keith Lee decides not to go to NXT? That is the question, right? Same thing with Matthew Riddle. Matthew Riddle is the bomb diggity, and we'll never know. Cassius Ohno ended up coming back to NXT. Like I said, guys, what's your question? Will Sami Callihan ever return to World Wrestling Entertainment? I don't know, and I couldn't answer that question, but I'm pretty sure he could answer that for you at Wrestling Revolver, where he is the owner, part booker, and basically owns the whole schlemiel. alongside his lovely, awesome wife or girl, whatever you want to classify Jesse Havoc as. But I love her to death. She's so sweet. She's so cool. I've not, hung out with her. I've just got an autograph from her. I got a picture with her. Just, a casual fan exchange. That's all. So 2018, wow, a lot of stuff going on in wrestling. The Bullet Club didn't take too kindly to what Finn Balor had posted. Somebody had posted about the Too Sweet symbol. It's funny that so Luke Gallows, Carl Anderson, they all center around Finn Balor, and what the controversy is that Lyft tweet up there, they didn't take it down. It said cease and desist at the bottom of the comment, because obviously, the Young Bucks have to add fuel to the fire. They're the most popular tag team in all of wrestling. Aside from, if you go through the Hardys, when they were in Ring of Honor, when they were doing the whole, Matt Hardy was doing the whole Woken gimmick, I think it's getting over quite well, which I didn't get to discuss that with you all last night. I briefly touched on it. But to start up the year 2018, I get, Raw has to scrap a lot more than SmackDown Live. And speaking of which, I'll get to this discussion in about 7 minutes and counting, because it's really kind of irking me why people are saying, okay, EC3 and Bobby Lashley, they're not really coming, or not that. No, that doesn't bother me. What bothers me is, which is more important, WK12 or the Royal Rumble? Most people that are listening to that sentence is probably thinking, yeah, I'd be out of your mind. Jericho and Omega is what we've been wanting to see. Then there's the people, well, I never watch wrestling anyway, but if I know Jericho's name, or some people don't even know who Chris Jericho is. The point is, what makes this match interesting is the fact that the whole event, WK12, I don't feel so bad for the guys before them, because these guys are also headliners. Now, I'm pretty sure someone who is an Uber fan would tell me, you don't know the whole card, so you can't really discuss it. Well, nice of you to traipse on my show, sir, but I got to tell you, I did do my research, even though it was a brief cliff note of what the person was telling me or what I was getting through the computer. It's still valid information about Kenny Omega, and it's still valid information about Chris Jericho. So what I'd like to inform you is, if you don't mind, I got a show to do, so... Oh, yeah. Okay, you're from New Haven? Who's your favorite wrestler? All right, cool. And, I really don't care, because anyone can have any favorite. That's my rule. You can like whoever you like on here, and I'm not going to judge you, because right here on Off the Rails and Censored, we have no filters. You can tell me to fuck off. I can tell you to fuck off. I really don't care. But for you to be 14 years old and mouthing off about you don't know what you're talking about, let me just gladly tell you this. You watch wrestling, I watch wrestling. I was a part of the business for a couple of years, and then I decided, hey, maybe this shit really isn't for me. Actually, I didn't get a choice like that, so I got fired over a fucking email. So for you to sit there and act like, you know everything, son, why don't you sit at your computer, have your mother tell you that everything's going to be okay after this little tidbit, because I'm going to tell you this right now. I don't care if your favorite wrestler is John Cena. I don't care if your favorite wrestler is Bayley or Alexa or Sasha or Melina Perez or Ivelisse Fillet. Kind of stumped you. Who are they? You ever watch Lucha Underground, my friend? You keep going back to the same sentence. Maybe it's just... Nope. It's not that. But I can guarantee you it's going to make no difference because... All right. So this guy is asking, do I give a damn about the women's Royal Rumble? Obviously, I do, because these ladies work very hard to put on a show for you guys. They're not Barbie dolls, although some of them do kind of fit the mold for that. Not trying to be rude or anything, but Mandy, Liv, but here's the thing, folks. I just got out to tell you, if it's one thing, some of them do fit the mold of Barbie doll, but why don't you care about the Women's Royal Rumble? Because it's going to be boring, really. So Beth Phoenix, Trish Stratus, Lita, possibly Victoria, maybe names that you don't know about because you're only 14. And that's interesting that you're tuning into my show. I thank you for that, my friend. Because at the end of the day, you're saying, I don't know what I'm talking about. I have watched wrestling. I keep learning about it. Do you know the importance of trying to learn or being able to adapt to your surroundings? Let me give you a little hint. Don't go on a show if you know you're going to be put in your place. Trish Stratus began in 1999. She was at the tail end of when Chyna was on her way out of WWE, kind of, sort of. And then by the time things went south, I mean, Trish Stratus was involved in a lot of bra and panties matches. She was involved in a lot of matches that really didn't make sense for women. So you want to know why I have an affinity for women's wrestling? It's because sometimes the guys can bore me to tears. And it's really not their fault. It's just sometimes the feel isn't right from the crowd. So you got to gauge, be able to gauge the crowd, whether they're going to pop or not. And I know you know terminologies because you're a fucking smart. I'm not trying to disrespect you, but all I'm going to tell you is, please do not refer to me as an Uber Mark, because here's the fucking funny part. I'm talking to a 14-year-old who you couldn't even hold the jockstrap of Roddy Piper. You couldn't even hold the jockstrap of guys like Tully Blanchard, Ric Flair, Arn Anderson. And you have the nerve to sit here and call someone, is the pot calling the kettle black? I mean, come on. I'm not blocking you because this is actually adding some intrigue and, you know, actual interest in the show. If you don't know who those names are, sir, you're going to be blocked within the next 2 minutes. Look it up on Google while I answer some other questions. Charisse. Where are you from, Charisse? Wow, you're from Cheyenne, Wyoming. Wow, holy cow. It's a long ways away. What's up? Who do I prefer, the independents or WWE? It's a mix of both. Not really all that familiar with CZW, and I could care less about why. It's because it's some of the way that they're structured. It's very similar to ECW. Some say it's not, but it is. Just like TNA and WCW. People will sit there and argue with me to Kingdom Come about why. Why TNA was different from WCW. Not so much in certain regards, and other regards, okay. All right, folks. Time to put people in. Time to put people on a platter. Serve them up on a dish that's very cold, called reality. Ladies and gentlemen, it's time for my favorite segment in the whole wide world, Off the Rails Uncensored. Now hit my music, boys.
Look in my eyes, what do you see? The cost of something I would be.
Okay, so as promised, I'm going to discuss with you what's on my mind. As far as the start of the year in 2018 goes, there's a lot of stuff going on. There's a lot of stuff that wrestling fans have got to remember to keep up with. Okay, so you got Wrestle Kingdom 12 in Tokyo, Japan, in the Tokyo Dome, which is sold out, filled the capacity to see Kenny Omega go one-on-one with Chris Jericho, the Ayatollah of Rock and Roll. Kenny Omega is a genius. Do you know why? It's not just because he turned down WWE and all this jazz. When you got guys that are basically living out their dream, wrestling, not just from, but that's kind of a lie. Some people will say, well, Kenny Omega's just doing it for the money. You guys would be foolish to believe that you can actually, no, that's not foolish. Kenny Omega versus Chris Jericho, is that going to be more important than watching the Royal Rumble? Now, you guys sit and be the judge. Is it more important to watch Wrestle Kingdom 12 for the fans who are not quite so familiar with New Japan, but they claim to be, and it's hilarious because I'm one that's just honest with you. I don't really watch MPJW all the time, but I'm not sticking my nose up in the air saying, oh, I'll never watch you. But it comes a point in the time where you decide in your career, okay, as a fan, which is more important, watching the same shit that we watched last year or giving it a chance and saying, okay, what could be different about this year's Royal Rumble? Hopefully they have valid returns, valid entrance. I mean, I went to all the major four Royal Rumble. I went to WrestleMania, SummerSlam, and Survivor Series. And about, okay, Survivor Series was saving grace. WrestleMania, it had its ups and downs, most definitely. It was very, very interesting. There's just a lot of stuff that goes on in my head when it comes to, okay, what do I got to weigh the pros and cons of? Okay, which one's going to feature some amazing guys for WK12? Obviously, the card, pretty sure, is stacked. In fact, I'm going to do you all a favor, since I know I'm going to get shunned if I don't. Tokyo, do not get mad at me for not knowing the entire card of WK12. Aside from Jericho and Omega, I'm pretty sure I'll find something. I'll definitely find something. I'm not going to play that, but I will play this. We're going to pause 10 seconds for identification while I go and find the WK12 card. Wow, Bullet Club. All right, not just Omega representing, but obviously the headliner. The Bullet Club team of Bad Luck, Fail, and Gorillas of Destiny, Tamatonga, and Tangalo. This is an openweight six-man tag team championship that'll be on the line.
So their opponents, the Chaos of Veralta, Tomoho, Ishii. I don't know how to pronounce the name. So it's January 4th, 12 AM, 3 AM Eastern. So this is gonna be interesting. There's going to be a pre-show New Japan Rumble, Ropingi 3K, so Shonyo versus the Young Bucks, who will be there, the IWGP Junior Heavyweight Tag Team Champion, the Bullet Club, Bad Luck, Fail, okay, I already said that, Taichi, Takashi, Iizuka, and Zack Sabre Jr. versus Taguchi Japan, Juice Robinson, and Rinsuke, Taguchi and Togi Machi. Never open weight six man tag team championship gauntlet match. Oh my goodness. Zack Sabre Jr. is a part of this card. How cool. Cody Rhodes versus Kota Ibushi. Oh my god. This match is going to be Killer Elite Squad, Davey Boy Smith Jr. and Lance Archer versus Los Ignorables de Japón. Evil Sanada IWGP Tag Team Championship will be on the line. Hiroki Goto versus Minoru Suzuki. The Never Openweight Championship hair versus hair match. That'll be interesting. Hiromi Takahashi versus Kushida versus Marty Scurll. Now, these names I'm kind of familiar with. Will Ospreay in the Junior Heavyweight Championship match. Hiroshi Tanahashi versus Switchblade Jay White. Oh, wow. Okay, I guess this isn't the main event. So Chris Jericho versus Kenny Omega, the IWGP United States Heavyweight Championship qualification match. So Kazuchika Okada versus Tetsuya Naito, IWGP Heavyweight Championship is on the line. So Jericho and Omega are not headlining the main event for Wrestle Kingdom 12. Obviously, you can live stream it on NewJapanWorld.com. Is that more important than watching in a 30-man over-the-top battle royal, the 2-on-1 handicap match? AJ Styles will succumb to facing Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn, my two new favorites on SmackDown Live. Used to not really like Sami Zayn at all, pretty much, simply because he just bored me to tears. Until I saw, well, I've seen him before in PWG. I've seen him before elsewhere on the independents. And for 15 years, he has gone through some major, major character changes, okay? What else? So, all the women that have been deciding to enter the Royal Rumble is going to make it very memorable. Nia Jax, obviously. Naomi, Natalia, Tamina, Carmella. That sounds like a cocktail party to me. Let's get some real names in there, shall we? Beth Phoenix, who is cited to be returning to WWE according to WrestlingNews.co. Very reliable source. Even though it's, you know, a very reliable source. So, here's what I'm going to tell you. The reason why I ask you guys, is it more important to watch one or the other? How is it going to affect your guys' viewpoints on wrestling? So, you know, I mean, it's not a shock that Jericho and Omega are main eventing, although I didn't even know it was for a championship until now. I'm just being honest with you. But I do say people will watch both because you got to compare and contrast. Well, this wrestling is better than this wrestling. Obviously, when you've got names like Zack Sabre Jr., Marty Scurll, Will Ospreay, Cody Rhodes, and these obviously guys are the main attraction. I'm not trying to take anything away from any of the Japanese talent. Obviously, because I haven't studied or seen any film on them. Does it make me a well-rounded fan if I just decide, okay, I'm going to just sit down and cram watch all of it into one? It'll give me a better sense of appreciation, but what I'm going to tell you is I would much rather be watching what I'm used to which is a variety of crap. It could range from anything from CZW to Monster Factory to, and it's not crap, by the way, it's very good wrestling. CZW, Monster Factory, Ring of Honor, House of Glory. Because where I live, folks, the East Coast is very, think of any good wrestling, but boy, are we going to boo your ass out the building if we hate you. Now, which is more important, watching the very first build to WrestleMania, what stories will occur, what alliances will be formed in the Royal Rumble? I mean, come on, it's the same shit, just different concept, with bigger names that are going to be one-hit wonders. Or could we see Rey Mysterio return to the Cruiserweight division? Could we see a lot of people return to the Cruiserweight division? I mean, I don't want to tell you. But I will tell you this. WK12 featuring Jericho versus Omega. Cody Rhodes versus Kota Ibushi. So this is basically one big Bullet Club show. And it's not a bad thing. Do you know why? As I told you last night, the trends that are set in wrestling that are popular right now. You've got Undisputed New Era. Adam Cole, baby. You've got Bobby Fish and Kyle O'Reilly. And what more could NXT ask for? There are plenty of people that I'm going to tell you right now. If you don't watch NXT, don't bother watching WK12 just because you saw Chris Jericho's name. And I say it nicely. That'd be like me watching all of Lesnar's UFC fights just because, well, I used to watch WWE, so I'm going to traipse and watch UFC, which I have no interest in, because why? Well, if you ask me, they come out to music and they make fun of wrestling because wrestling is gay, supposedly, right? So here's what I'm going to tell you. There are those who watch it all around. They watch football, they watch baseball, they watch ESPN, they watch pro wrestling. Anything that's sports-minded. So why do I, not give a damn about what's on with Conor McGregor, or I used to watch it. I'm just telling you, I used to watch the UFC, and they said, well, you should continue watching. Why? They come out to music, right? They come out to music, and sometimes they hop on a microphone during weigh-ins, and they promo. So it's kind of a condensed version. I get what you're doing. I get what you're doing. Some guys are like, well, I watch it because it's better than watching what's on the tube on Mondays and Tuesdays and Wednesdays. It's your prerogative. The point is, if you never watched anything regarding Japanese wrestling, not just when Shinsuke was there or Asuka or Kairi Sane, but you watch Kota Ibushi matches, you watch Okada, you watch Omega. Now that Cody Rhodes is getting an opportunity to wrestle in Japan, that's huge. And I'm not just focusing on his name, but look at Zack Sabre Jr., Marty Scurll, Will Ospreay. Names that actually make sense in this crazy world of wrestling. When watching whose names showed up on the card, I'll admit, I didn't know some of their names. Because, what I watch, there's a plethora of, watching wrestling. Ring of Honor, then you've got House of Glory, House of Hardcore, then the WWE practically comes every other month. So there's Jersey shows, there's Connecticut, there's New York, right? We're in 6 inches of snow, folks. I'm bored to death, but it's okay. Point is, you be the judge of which is more important and what card actually produced some actual awesomeness versus a card that we're kind of iffy on because Ambrose isn't a part of it. And also there's big plans for the Shield to, you know, disband whatever they were going to do with it. What I can tell you is eventually after that 9 months passes, we'll be interesting to see if Ambrose still carries on the legacy of backstabbing in WWE when groups reunite, because as I just told you, Royal Rumble tends to disappoint. For those who, why was it disappointing last year? I'll give you a hint. They could have introduced Kurt Angle. They could have introduced anybody. But seeing how it kind of should have given us the big hint when Roman Reigns lost that Universal title rematch against Kevin Owens, when he lost, it kind of gave us all the hint. Okay. Yeah, number 30. You hear Roman's theme, and you're all sitting, acting surprised. It's like, surprise! So, the Royal Rumble, I don't care if John Cena entered in the Royal Rumble. I really don't give a fuck, because most people are going to react in Philly. They absolutely will fool you sometimes, cheering, oh, you said we boo him, so let's cheer. Oh, you said we cheer him, so let's boo. Philly fans are smart cookies. I'm going to tell you that right now. They're kind of the brethren of the East Coast. They hate being, oh, we're like New York fans. Is there a code that I should be aware of? I mean, honestly, we all are picky bitches. Look at who we cheer for 1 year, and then the next year, I shit you not. In Barclays, watching SummerSlam. John Cena is hated in New York. And no, it's not because he's from Boston. That's part of it. But some people will give the weirdest logic as to why they hate a guy. Why do I dislike Brock Lesnar? Hate is such a strong word. I disagree with what they are doing. If you are wanting to keep a client happy, what do? You kiss ass. Just from the perspective of what are the pros and cons of having Brock Lesnar? What are the pros and cons now that we're on that subject, right? Pros, you sell a lot of merch because people are stupid or they're smart, whichever you classify. Are they stupid for buying merch that they want to buy? No. But Suplex City, yeah, he only does one suplex, so I guess that classifies into a brilliant merch idea, Suplex City. That's funny because a lot of people can do suplexes. I know of a guy by the name of Kurt Cannon, and it's hilarious how he does T-bone German, butterfly, belly to back, vertical, fisherman, northern lights. I mean, come on, there's a variety of suplexes that Lesnar could do. He's just fucking lazy. So, laziness. There we go. Let's add that to the tab of cons. Attendance con. Are there any pros left? He's a draw. So, the more money that certain promoter makes, boy, keep his ass coming, because if you don't, you're fired. The ever so famous words phrased by, well, I could say his name, but I figure I'd say the other guy's name, Vince McMahon. Now, a lot of people peg Vince for this decision. I don't know what else to tell you guys other than having Brock Lesnar in WWE has been real hindrance, because whether or not people agree with this statement, it would not be a draw. I hate to say it, but without Brock Lesnar, having Samoa Joe as a champion, Braun Strowman as a champion, think of what pros and cons would come off of that.
If you have Samoa Joe as a champion, he's a draw to all the independent fans because they know him from TNA. They know him from various other organizations that he worked for. This is the guy that choked out Lesnar and made him look good. They made him look good. So you're telling me benefit because he only shows up part-time? I guess you could say would be a puzzle piece that's always been missing, not really. I'll give you an example. So at WrestleMania 32, when Ambrose faced off with Lesnar, okay? And this is quite painful to recall because I'm not so sure you understand why I'm pissed off. It's because you look at that match, and Ambrose basically told it like it was on the Stone Cold podcast on the network, and he said he just wasn't doing, he wouldn't agree to do anything. I mean, it's one thing to say, do you want to do this? Do you want to do that? And the guy says, okay, yeah, I'll do this, but I won't do that. That's fine. But when it gets to, I don't feel comfortable, or I don't want to do that, I don't want to do it, then why the fuck are you there? In WWE, you know how many people would kill to get that opportunity to wrestle or just to work, period, for a company that is badass? Sure, I get a lot of flack for telling people that WWE is the only company. No, what I'm saying is I would love to work for WWE. How do I get there, though? That's the question. Lesnar has pretty much everything handed to him on a platter. And what's annoying is he even said, I wouldn't mind working with Samoa Joe. I really like him. He knows what I like and what I doesn't like. So in other words, keep your client happy. Whether we love him or hate him, majority of us boo. The real fans, that is, because the stupid ones. Suplex City. Really, assholes? What exactly has Lesnar done that has impressed a crowd other than suplex John Cena 15 gajillion times? Because that's all he knows. Clothesline, duck the line, spear into the corner, shoulder thrust, shoulder thrust, shoulder thrust. Clothesline, duck the line, German, 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 German. That is pretty much the whole offense of Brock Lesnar when he enters a ring. Who am I to criticize because I'm not a trainer, because I'm not a booker, because I'm not a promoter? But I am a measly manager who, like Paul Heyman, sits outside the ring and just plays tiddlywinks because he doesn't pull a leg, he doesn't get involved in the match. I have yet to see Paul Heyman get involved in one of Brock Lesnar's matches. Again, simply because Paul Heyman gets recited and recycled every single week. My name is Paul Heyman, and I am an advocate for the reigning, defending, undisputed Universal World Heavyweight Champion, Brock Lesnar. And it doesn't take much for the crowd to pop. They love Paul Heyman, but put the mic in Brock Lesnar's hands and he sounds like this. I don't know whether to classify him as Mickey Mouse or a guy that can, you know, when he talks normal, he has that heavy Minnesotan accent, but he's a big-ass dude whose chest looks really weird because he's so huge. His neck, oh my goodness, his neck's kind of like, it's scary. It's very, very scary. He's like wearing body armor with that neck. I gotta say, reading reports aside from Lesnar, Enzo is actually sick and wanted to actually wrestle Cedric Alexander. You gotta commend the guy.
Now, he has a lot of flaws. I get it. But for wanting to wrestle while you're sick, wow, pretty commendable for the little pipsqueak. The reason why I say this is because Enzo tries his best. He loves the fans. But he just, you know, everyone has faults. Unfortunately, Enzo's fault is the mouth that never shuts because it's open 24/7 like a 7-Eleven. So, anyways, oh, and you're wondering where the host or the co-host is, right? Well, to be honest with you, I'm hard to work with. That there are open auditions for the Wrestle Radio host job. By the way, it pays. I am legal and I am tender in this transaction. Do you know why? For those of you interested in joining Wrestle Radio, I will be able to pay you. But see, you have to do the bidding of showing up and actually doing the broadcast. I'm not going to disclose the amount on here, because if you want more information, you can PM me through Wrestle Radio on Facebook. Shouldn't be hard to find. It looks like Monday Nitro's logo, which reminds me, need to get that changed. Anyways, so back on the subject of weighing pros and cons. Now, if you had a choice, you didn't have anyone to really book against Roman Reigns, because that's who everyone pictures winning the Royal Rumble. It could be wrong. Could be a SmackDown Live person that wins the championship. There could be a woman involved in the Royal Rumble. I believe so. Now, back to the point. Lesnar I do believe, I don't know if you want to say hard worker, I don't know if you want to say redundant, retarded. He just repeats the same shit that he did last year, which kind of irritates folks, because the inconsistent attendance can grate on person's last nerve. And what do I mean by that? Cannot consistently be a part of an organization as a champion and not defend that championship. If it were on Monday Night Raw, I'd be in shock. I'm not a board member. I'm not a board of directors. I am not Stephanie McMahon. I am not Triple H. I am definitely not Jamie Noble. I am not Joey Mercury. I am not Finley. And I am definitely not William Regal. What I do know is Brock Lesnar is not known to be very kind to fans, although they chant Suplex City and buy his merchandise and make him a very rich man. He's not very, very applicable, because I, like I said, I was in Brooklyn. I went to a few autograph signings like the Usos. I went to Natalia's. I went to the Big Show, who substituted for Carmella, which, you know, it's cool. Then I went to the Usos, I think, believe before that. So here's what I got to tell you. Lesnar's not very kind to fans. That's a con. But the company sees it, oh, he's making us money. So unfortunately, guys, as much as we, some of us like to disagree with the method of keeping Lesnar champion, which is retarded because you spend your money and then it turns out to be crap. I don't doubt that Asuka will, you know, be a definite factor in the women's battle world. But to answer your question, Janine, I will tell you, the majority of women have got to be afraid to go into that women's Royal Rumble. They also got to have butterflies in their stomach, because this is the first time ever that they are showcasing the women
in a fair manner. It's been a long time coming, and I think it's pretty cool. Oh, yes. To continue the discussion from yesterday about fandom, some of you believe that you know the wrestling business. You know how the answer is to that? No, the fuck you don't. None of us do. If we knew the wrestling business, then WWE would have things solved, and people would be happy as clams, okay? And I wouldn't be doing this podcast, and we'd all be clamoring to get into MPJW or WWE or whatever it is you want to work for. It'd be easy. So, not little words of wisdom, just food for thought. If you're serving the business, like Uncle Bob says, you gotta sacrifice and keep biting the big one, okay? Taking your punishment, meaning paying your dues, setting up the ring is one way, but also being polite, not being a douche canoe, goes a long way with the promoter. So if you want to work that one promotion or you want to work multiple, what I would suggest you do is keep going to seminars, keep learning, keep training every day. Do not fall for the trap of, oh, I watch this on TV, I write about it, I read about what's going to happen, so I must be the expert. That brand, the fan, is what I like to call super smart, because you guys are so snooty, you forget arguing your point is going to get bamboozled with a whole bunch of more arguing your points. And then you say, well, how the hell did I get in this position? Why am I so mad? The reason we're all so mad is because we can never agree upon anything as fans. We're so wishy-washy. But the beauty part about it is sometimes the discussion gets to a focal point of one fan says one thing, the other fan says the other. I mainly, if I'm asked, I realize, okay, then I say something. But if I'm not asked about a wrestler or a female wrestler, or, you know, a manager, then I don't say shit. But some people who believe that they're always right, I got three simple words for you. Shut the fuck up. Then you have the level of fan that just believes everything and gets so hyped about everything. Those people are called the casual marks. Now, for categorizing people, it's because they kind of deserve categories, because none of you like to believe you're just actual fan. And when you use terminologies, I cringe. I fucking cringe. Do you know why? And this goes for workers, too. You guys owe your mark. Owe your mark. I like to point out that we're all marks for somebody. And what's hilarious is it's just like people who work an office job versus someone who works a retail job. So you work an office job. Cool. I would like to point out that everyone's equal. Everyone has a fair shake. It's just unfortunate that society views certain things as not a fair shake. So they said, well, they made that choice. I don't know about you all, but when we're wrestling fans and you go into an arena and you're so excited about meeting this person, that person is talking down about the most beautiful thing in the world in wrestling, and that's fans. I have an issue with guys and gals that do that. So do I confront them? No, because that'll just make the situation worse. What I do is I'm proactive about it, and I say, if you know that a fan is a super fan of you, don't act surprised. And here's the other thing. In order to be successful in anything, right, you always hear this from a lot of people, and it's true. Focus on your own shit. Why should I be worried about what Johnny's saying about so-and-so because I'm focused about what I'm doing on Off the Rails Uncensored. This is 2018. It's not 2017 where all the fucking drama, you know, seemed to surface because in 2016, I don't think people forgot just what, you know, was going down on our show because we had a lot of guests coming on. We had a lot of things going on. Now, you know, things are obviously different because I decided that I made a solemn vow when I decided this. In order for my ass to move forward, I got to find ways to improve the show so that fans will actually be intrigued to listen to the fucking podcast. How do you make it intriguing? If it's the same design, the same music, guess what, guys? Consistency is what intrigues fans. Oh, we know what we're going to get. Some fans like unexpected, or they like spontaneous, on the fly. Again, I don't speak for fans, but I like I said, it bothers me when I hear workers plain as day. Oh, this fucking mark here. Oh my God, remember this? Why? What purpose are you trying to serve? You guys are entertainers, right? It's like being in a circus. You see the clowns. You see the lions, you see tigers, you see sometimes bears. Oh my. What's the purpose? You want to be entertained? You want to fall asleep at the circus? You want to be entertained. So for people to throw around terms, that's okay. You know what I figured? That is okay. Why? What turns into being inappropriate behavior for both worker and fan? If a fan is streaking naked down the ramp, then yes, that shit would make my eyebrows go, whoa. It would make my eyebrows raise up on my forehead, okay? If this fan is a gun and he wants to shoot the worker, that's a different story because that has happened, and it happened in New Orleans a couple years ago. A lady, actually, she brought a gun into the show. I don't know if it went off or not, but you don't know. And people who say, oh, I would hug a fan if he ran into the ring. No, because you don't know if they have a weapon, and you don't know if this person is going to come to your house, stalk you, and shoot your ass. Not all fans are bad. There are those of us who actually respect the wrestler and, you know, think of them, okay, they're a person. They make a living entertaining us, the masses. So in other words, some of us are not, we are marks, okay, I'll admit, but don't categorize us right away before you meet us. If we're wanting an autograph, there's a protocol on how to do that. Don't hang over their shoulder while they're eating. Obviously, you know, a lot of people want to talk about, well, why would you discuss this? Because this is just a podcast. I've discussed etiquette a millions amount of times. Don't ever go into a live chat room looking for a guest on your podcast. That makes you look extremely desperate. Me acknowledging the situation, I didn't name names, but you know who you are. If you go under an alias, right, that way you're not well known and you still say, well, I want a guest for my show, okay, can you broadcast the bat signal any fucking more than you just did? That is behavior of a super mark. Some people will say, well, I get along with them just fine. Really? So I'm not going to judge the character, but going into a live Facebook chat feed, I happen to catch wind of this because I caught the tail end of when Marty Bell and the announcer from NWL was doing their show. There's nothing wrong with doing it, you may say. Really, there's nothing wrong with looking desperate and getting no response, no likes, nothing. That makes you look so super cool. And the one that talked to me last year about, or the year before, about etiquette, so 2 years ago, let me say, and we spoke about what to do and what not to do. You're starting to fall into the category of train wreck, my friend, and no pun intended. I love when people just, you know, they trip automatically without me even trying to trip them up. Why is it any of my business? Why should I care? Simply because after watching it, I now know if you like someone to, for them to be on your show, you don't just, hi, I'd like you to be on my show, blah, blah, blah. That makes you look desperate and it makes you look foolish. Why am I concerned? Because this person used to be affiliated with, and now I'm glad I'm not. Because the therapy that one may endure while being this person's broadcast partner is indeed a headache waiting to happen, so I'm going to move forward. If you are wanting someone's autograph and you say to them, good luck Sunday, he doesn't even know who the hell you are. And I am referring to Seth Rollins when we were outside at Barclays Center and they just wanted to probably get in their car and go home. Or not go home, but go out. You know, just enjoy a dinner or lunch in New York because they've got to either go to the gym or they just want to go out and enjoy the city. Good luck with that, but I mean, saying shit as if you know a superstar, I'm going to put the emphasis on that. Yeah. Nice way to clear one's throat, okay? And not only people would just run up to people, don't do that shit. If you know a guy is walking on the street, or you know you're walking on the street, would you want someone running up to you for your autograph? No. I mean, it's cool that you're kind of like living a rock star status, and it's awesome that you're getting autographs. But don't. I saw this. Like I said, I saw this last year in 2017. While in Brooklyn, I basically asked the question, okay, do you guys not know how to behave? Or actually, no, have some form of manners, right? Would you want to be bothered while eating soup? No. I mean, I saw this pattern, if you will. I saw this pattern of, like, people nonstop would run up to a superstar and say, oh, you're really cool, blah, 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 can I have your autograph? That's cool, you know, do it that way. But, you know, basically just be respectful and be yourselves, but nothing. Keep saying it. But nothing. How many times do you go out and you find superstars as if they were Easter eggs on an Easter egg hunt and say, hey, I got one. In other words, don't act like a fucking douche, you know, a fucking dead-ass Fugazi. Leave it alone. Walk away. The other points that I would like to discuss with you is when you're at a show, it's okay to take pictures. It's okay to tweet about it, Facebook them, you know, do whatever you want to do. What's not okay is if you're on your phone the entire time and then you gripe because you missed something because you come back. What did I miss? Oh, I can't believe I missed that. What is the point of spending over $100 for lower-level seats and you're sitting talking on your phone. I've only witnessed this probably 3 or 4 times. Batteries can die. That's why I suggest a portable charger. They're only $7.99 from Walmart.com. It also works as an LED flashlight. Charge it with a macro USB cable. Why is this information handy? So that you won't run out of battery when you're taking pictures of your favorite wrestlers, managers, referees. Yes, there are people with favorite referees, believe it or not. John Cohn is quite popular, and so is, Charles Robinson. And, oh yes, Mike Chioda. Even got a chant named after him. I believe it was Jersey or New York, I can't recall. But, point is, fans just enjoy the show. Wrestlers, all I ask of you is just, you know, put on a good show. If you don't put on a good show, sure, I'll be a little ticked off, but I'll be appreciative that you tried. People who are involved in wrestling and think that the fans are beneath them, let me give you a little dose of reality. If it weren't for the fans, then you wouldn't have a show, because you'd be just doing empty arenas, or you'd be wrestling at circuses, or you'd be wrestling at fairs. And for what? Because back in the day, that was the entertainment for people who wanted to get away from reality. And just so you know, I'm going to touch on this. If you're looking for guests, all I'm going to tell you is don't overhype yourself. If you're a podcaster, just be yourself. They'll appreciate you more if you can banter back and forth, even if you're not a worker. Just ask fun questions. Don't stick around to the mantra of, oh, I'm a podcast, so I have to adhere to the strict code of just asking questions that are on my sheet. Look outside the box, because you never know what day you could leave. I mean, you could leave this earth and never, ever come back. What I'm saying is, it's finally nice just to be like, oh, man, I feel that sigh of relief after the guest says, I would love to be on your show and I had a great time. It's just like completing a successful date. You get ready, you get showered, you put some deodorant on, you brush your teeth, of course, because you don't want your breath to smell like onions or feet. So, in other words, don't be a desperate hoe trying to look for just, you know, names, period. That's the shit that makes me so mad, is the people that be grasping for straws. Hey, we had this person on our show. We had that person on our show. Really, your show still blows more than Jenna Jameson on a porn set. Therefore, why the fuck should I care about your show? Unless your name is Stone Cold, unless your name is Colt Cabana, Chris Jericho. I mean, there's plenty of that. There's plenty of names that I can list off. Heel Marks Podcast. What's really hilarious is you watch their show. Why are they successful? Because they've had big names? Or is it because the way they present? Could be a bit of both. So, if you're trying to take note on how someone has a successful show, you don't have to have guests on your show all the time. Now, granted, it's nice. It's a nice way of relaxing for me, because I can babble to Kingdom Come for all, you know, eternity. But what I have seen in the last few days kind of just makes me smile. You know, you find the way, you find the motivation to do something, and then when you're less motivated, you're not there anymore. Now, we all know who I'm referring to. I'm not being petty. But the former host of Wrestle Radio,
a former partner of mine in crime. We ended stuff peacefully, right? 2017 kind of was on a rocky mountain where really wasn't any reward to any of it. People who have known you longer are going to possibly say, well, you're too negative, and then we kind of just side with Jake. But here's what I'm going to say. I'm not worried about the past. And I'm not reaching out in olive branch saying, come back. I'm just telling you. What I see is an individual who is desperate to just basically get any big name that you can and just, I had this guest, I had that. You're fucking one-upsman, dude. Here's the other thing that bothered me about you. I'm just going to, since I have like 8 minutes left, I might as well just rip you a new one. The one-upsman game. Did it really matter that, you know, you supposedly know all these people, including one of the godfathers of independent wrestling? You want to say shit behind my back, and then I find out later from other people about what you said about me? This is very high school. It's very, very high school. It's almost as if, you know, two women fighting with canes with one another. No. I'm not an old lady, but I sure as hell know that what it boils down to is yesterday in that chat room when you sat there and basically said, oh, I need a guest for my show. Grasping for straws, are we? I'm just sitting laughing at you, dude, because you opened Pandora's box. You basically sat there and gave me an opportunity just to vent about what was bothering me and what was on my mind, what I was thinking. But what you didn't realize is, okay, now good old B-Train owns Wrestle Radio, and he owns Off the Rails Uncensored. You want to try and take credit for my career. Big mistake when you lie about more than one thing. You didn't make me. My parents did. You didn't make the name Brian Rails. I did. But yet you go to the back of everybody and tell, wait till I come there, because you realize that the show is getting better. It's not a success, I would say, just yet. But here's the fun part, Mr. Patty. You never paid for shit, including $1,300 worth of WrestleMania. You never paid me back is what I'm referring to for all the times that I picked you up and went to NWL. You never thought to pay gas when, you know, we had a trio going to Sedalia, Eldon, or wherever. But yet you would pay for your own food because you a motherfucking fat pig. Here's what I'm going to tell you. Do not, and I mean do not, open your mouth to any worker because you are what we call a bullshitter. And it's really bad when you can smell that from a mile away. You wrote a two-page handwritten letter to Vince McMahon? Really? That's interesting, because your handwriting looks like crap. That's not the point, dude. I finally am getting out of how I feel in 2018, and oh, it feels great. 3.5 minutes of absolute release. It feels good. I wasn't going to name names, but Jesus Christ, it was holding that shit in was just grating on my last nerves.
whenever you have a wrestling podcast, sir, be consistent, because there'd be weeks where we wouldn't be on the air because you couldn't pay the fucking bills. It's $39. How in the actual fuck do you not come up with $39? Well, at the time, you didn't have a job. The hilarity of this is you would talk about the glory days of a fantasy wrestling group. Here I am thinking you're bringing me in to go to bigger and badder places when we're not even well known. We are not even well known. Not even on the map. Demographics are demographics when it comes to Wrestle Radio or any podcast. Any podcast can say, well, I have fans in Australia. I have fans in Japan. Which, by the way, thank you guys for listening to this randomness. But for those of you who have heard shit about me, I apologize in advance if I have to set the record straight, yo. Because Jake is a liar, and he likes to spread shit. He is like a plague that you can prevent, and it's called never ever associate with somebody that tries to spring guests upon you the day of the fucking show, and then not even be on the show himself. So, the host of the most, yeah, you're the host that's about to, well, actually did get a roast. Yeah, I know I'm talking about a nobody, but I can easily cover that up by tomorrow, right? I might have a third show this week for you folks. I'm just not going to tell you when the release date is, because, quite frankly, it felt good to get my mind off of what needs to be mind off of. So, therefore, don't align yourself with this person. Do your own show if you have to. And if he tells you otherwise, I just, you know, it's hilarious. I never pictured myself to be doing what I'm doing right now, but it's fun, right? When others sit and give you a look, not just at Wrestling Revolver, sir, at NWL, at WLW, you are the one that went to the back. You are the one that said, oh, well, you were the one that... Don't point the finger at me, bub. Where did all this shit come from? Well, yeah, we used to be friends. But friends don't go around talking bad about one another. Because I'll say it to your face, too. I'm not afraid of you. But here's the fun part. If half most of the time you don't have evidence of someone actually being a mess, like not being able to screenshot, I'm B-Train. From Off the Rails Uncensored, I'll talk more this week. Because I'm not done yet. Bye, bitches. Look in my eyes, what do you see? The cost of something I would see.